Ultimately, a good workplace is about relationships among people. With the stress of transition about to hit, along with a possible hiring freeze, now's a good time for career leadership to re-engage with the workforce. With some tips for effective ways to do that and help retain them, Margot Conrad, Director of Education and Outreach at the Partnership for Public Service. Margot, yes, we are on the verge of big stuff happening, I guess, huh?
Yes, we are. And thank you so much, Tom, for having me. We are. I think there's a lot of unknown still, but there's a potential for a hiring freeze that could come either through, you know, executive action or, you know, there's a lot of conversations on the Hill and proposals surfacing about potential cuts to workforce through attrition. So there's a lot of unknowns, but I think we can expect that agencies are going to be asked to do more with less. And there are some important strategies that I think agencies should be taking to really make sure that they're retaining and engaging the current workforce that they have.
And you've got about four of them, to be precise. So let's talk about what they are.
Sure, absolutely. So I think the first thing that managers can really be focusing on and leaders can be focusing on is onboarding and integrating recent hires. So there's actually been a lot of news recently about the flurry of activity where agencies are trying to do a lot of hiring now in anticipation of a potential hiring freeze. So agencies really need to focus on making sure that they're really onboarding these folks. They're bringing them on quickly, but it's not just a, you know, day one or first week orientation. How are they really effectively integrating those folks into the culture of the agency, helping them understand how their work connects to the overall agency mission? Agencies can be providing a buddy or a mentor to these new individuals when they come in. You know, there's a really interesting statistic that found that 90% of employees decide whether or not they're going to stay at an organization or begin looking for a new job during the first 6 months on the job. So those first month, 6 months are really critical, and we really encourage, you know, managers and agencies to be focusing on that onboarding process.
Yeah, it's not just enough to stuff the pipeline with people. You've got to make sure that you make something of them once they do get in the door.
Exactly, exactly. And then I think another really key area to focus on is taking time to recognize employees. You know, sure, there are, you know, monetary ways to do that, whether it's, you know, through student loan repayment or retention incentives or time off. But there's a lot of ways that you can recognize employees and try to retain them by simply saying thank you. So actually, there's some, you know, Director Archuleta from the OPM, former OPM director, one of the things that she did is she actually would do phone calls with employees on her staff to personally thank them for the work that they had been doing and the contributions to the organization. And many leaders in the public sector and private sector do this. So taking time to walk around to your team, to thank them for what they're doing, to ask them and learn more about what they're doing and maybe what they need to be successful, it can go a long way in terms of morale and engagement.
And it could probably also help prep them, I guess, maybe psychologically, if you want to put it that way, for the incoming team so that they'll feel energized about what they're doing when those people arrive.
Exactly. That communication is so important, especially during the transition process. That's absolutely key. And then another area that's important is really looking at the data that you have and seeking additional feedback from employees to really understand their experience and then to take action as a result to look at how you're managing and leading and what you might need to do to change as a leader to make sure that your employees are engaged. So there's a lot of ways that you can do that. So if you're a manager, there are the Best Places to Work rankings and the results of the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey. So you can take a look and see what are some of the things that are in your control that you can actually address. You might not be able to address issues around their perceptions of pay in the workforce, but you can control the way that you communicate and share information, the type of culture that you want to create and transparency, how you provide feedback, how you reward and recognize your employees. That's really critical. And then also I would encourage managers to do more regular pulse surveys because the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey is just an annual survey. And so if there's a way to get information more real time on a regular basis, you can be able to take some steps to make changes to your own management leadership style.
We're speaking with Margot Conrad, Director of Education and Outreach at the Partnership for Public Service. So basically, managers should not, at this time especially, be sticking themselves in their own offices, cloistered in there, worrying about what's going to happen or preparing plans for the new team, but really focusing outside of that cubicle or office to the people that are doing the work.
That's exactly right. And you know what? That is a perfect segue to the final and fourth recommendation I was going to make, which is that managers need to be investing in growing their talent. So, you know, we're going into a new performance management cycle here with 2017 kicking off. So, you know, really working with employees to help identify their goals, making sure that they're ambitious but achievable, where are some of the areas where they need to grow this year, and then actively promoting developmental opportunities. And that's not just classroom training. That's one type of way to develop, but looking out for ways that your employees can learn by working on different kinds of projects, serving on an interagency task force or working group, participating in a detail. There are many ways that you can stretch your employees and challenge them. And I think that's a really critical way to be investing.
And what should you do if there is a new political appointee that comes in and they have different priorities and order different activities to be undertaken? Mm-hmm. And so that could really, you know, make people have to shift gears suddenly. And how do you affect that so that people's morale stays up?
Well, I think that's a really good point. And I think that's where the communication comes in. And I think that there's also just flexibility that employees need to try to have right now, recognizing that it is a transition period. And change takes time. So I think that just making sure that you're continuing to communicate, recognizing and being honest, you know, that there are changes on the horizon, and continuing to provide that feedback and forums for sharing so that employees can be able to voice how they're feeling during the transition process, and that you're able as a manager to try to address that.
And as a manager, what should you do? How should you interact with the new people that do come in?
Sure. So I think it's going to depend. The question is a good one, and it probably depends on what level you are in the organization as a manager, and the opportunities that you're going to have to directly interact with the senior-most leaders. But I think making sure that you're able to communicate the work that has been done, the accomplishments that the team has had, communicating with the political appointees and being that line between your employees that you manage and then the new political team coming in. So being able to, again, articulate the work that you've been doing and then being able to articulate back down to your employees what those new priorities are and a plan for how you're going to move forward to address them.
The reality is that lots of the people that come in when there is a switch of parties, for example, as we're having now, those political appointees, for the most part, or in many cases, let's say, are not new to the federal government. They may have been out for a while because the opposite party has been in. Mm-hmm. But when the party switches, a lot of those people won't be brand new to the federal government.
That's interesting. So I think that's true. But I think in this instance, you're seeing a lot of political appointees who are new to the federal environment, or at least at some of the senior levels, the folks that are being nominated right now. And that's a place where the career staff has a real opportunity to be working with them to educate them about how the federal environment operates, and to be sharing that information and knowledge about what has been tried, not just in the Obama administration, but in previous administrations as well, and what tools and resources these new leaders have at their disposal to be able to enact the policies and priorities that they want to put in place.
And probably saying something like, "Welcome to the swamp," is not a great idea to start out things.
Probably not.
Margo Conrad is Director of Education and Outreach at the Partnership for Public Service. Thanks so much.
Thanks very much for having me, Tom.
You can find a link to this interview and to our extensive transition coverage at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.